Yo, what is up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Overstated NBA Show. It's myself. It is the icon, Brett Usher, and we also got producer Mikey producing the show. He's going to hit us with a lot of quick hitters. This is probably my Christmas, one of my favorite sport days of the year. It's the NBA trade deadline. We were just kind of talking off air before we got on. I don't know if this was the biggest. I don't have those numbers in front of me right now, but it felt like the biggest. I don't know about everybody else. I was refreshing Twitter, I think about maybe every 30 seconds, I want to say. And it was, you could say it was the Woj versus Sham show, because it was like bam, 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 bam. It was like title fight. It was boom, 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 boom. And I think Woj beat him. I want to say, I think it was 11 to 10 I saw somewhere. But the NBA has changed. For you guys that don't know, the friend of the program, Derek Michael, he had to work today and he was not on the internet. And he came back and he saw some of the stuff and he said, I don't even know if I can get this deep into it. It seems like the entire league has changed. And yeah, he was right. So without further ado, High Noon. Got a little pineapple one in front of me. Feel free to sponsor us for a free plug here. And Brett, what's going on, man? How you doing?
Man, I'm doing good. I'm tired. You know, I stayed up way too late last night, just messing around on Twitter and, you know, awaiting all the news. And the KD trade broke like pretty late my time in Hawaii. Like, I think it was like 8 something here. Yeah, so
it was midnight here. I can tell you, Brett, I was sitting there, I was editing some videos and I saw the Toronto San Antonio trade and I shit you not, man. I'm kind of sitting there. I'm up in my bed and my eyes are just kind of dozing just a little bit. And all of a sudden I get this text message. I think it was either Riley or it was Tyler Woodley. And he was like, whoa. I didn't even see what they said. I just checked Twitter and I saw KD had been traded. And I was just like, all right, baby, here we go. I clapped. I woke my wife up. She was like, oh, is someone here? I'm like, no, Kevin Durant just got traded. She's like, okay, don't do that ever again. You scared the crap out of me. I'm like, let's go. And I didn't sleep for like the next hour. I was that jacked up, juiced and ready to go.
Bro, yeah, same, man. I was actually I took my eyes off Twitter for a few minutes to cut up some clips of Josh Minot, who scored a career high 12 points with 11 rebounds in the Timberwolves win over Utah. And that took me about 5 minutes. And during the time I was doing that, the KD trade broke. And before I even looked at Twitter, I just uploaded like the Josh Minot video, and then I see that Kevin Durant had been traded. I'm like, man, nobody's even gonna look at this damn video. And so yeah, when I was doing that is when it broke. And then yeah, same, man, I stayed up for like another couple hours just tweeting about it and reading about it and thinking about it. And I was super hyped, man. I still am about that team. And then I woke up super early this morning, just like, I don't know, I think my brain was just wired because, you know, the KD thing had broke like kind of right before I went to bed. So I just woke up and went right on Twitter. It was like 4:30 in the morning, but I think I knew in the back of my head that, you know, that's 9:30 in the morning on the East Coast. So like there could be some more stuff. And then throughout the day, some more things did break. But yeah, I didn't get a lot of sleep last night. So thank you, trade deadline, for that. But it was well worth it.
The funniest thing was I saw your tweet at about 1:30 in the morning my time, and you geeked me out because you were just like, man, the East Coasters, they don't even know what they just missed. It was absolutely, yeah. I chuckled in bed, and then I'm like, man, I got to go to bed. I think I even texted Mikey. I'm like, is it safe to go to bed right now? It was, yeah. It was wild, man. I still can't believe that Kevin Durant got traded. I mean, I can believe it, but it's just, I can't believe it in a sense that a month ago, maybe even a little bit less than that, we were talking about the Brooklyn Nets, man. They're a serious threat. I believe they had won 18 to 20. Everything was golden. Like once they were playing like that, I shouldn't be surprised, but I don't think, have we ever seen a contender that was a team like Brooklyn that was contending for a title? They literally could have won the NBA title. They were that good. And then 3 weeks later, it's their entire team is broken up.
It's crazy. Yeah, it's I don't know, man. We haven't really seen anything like that before. Of course, we saw them trade Harden last season, but this was really like, because yeah, they were rolling, man, for a while there. And yeah, you have to think if KD and Kyrie, anytime those guys are healthy and playing together, like that's one of the best teams in the NBA, you know, especially because they have and had pretty good depth. So I guess it just, you know, obviously he had requested a trade before the season started, I think back in September, I believe it was. And then I think, you know, when Kyrie demanded a trade and got traded, I think at that point, the writing was probably on the wall that KD was going to want out too. Like, I think him staying there was probably contingent on Kyrie staying there. And with Kyrie, who knows, man, like if it was, you know, just the contract thing, I think it was probably a combination of like, I mean, regardless of how you feel about him sharing that link and the way that the organization handled it and with his punishment and suspension and the list of things he had to do to return, all that, like regardless of how anyone feels about it, like he feels a certain way about that. And I have to think that factored in addition to them not meeting his contractual desires. So yeah, I think once Kyrie was gone, KD was, it was gone. And it sounded like they've been working on a trade for a few days with the Suns. And I mean, it's tough to lose a guy like KD, guys like Kyrie and KD. I would say all in all, they did pretty well.
I thought so. I thought so. Mikey, do you have the details of the Kevin Durant trade on who went where? Like they just the final details?
The Suns get Kevin Durant and TJ Warren. The Brooklyn Nets get Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Jay Crowder, who has since been traded to the Milwaukee Bucks. And they received four unprotected first-round picks in 23, 25, 27, and 29, plus one pick swap in 2028.
That's a decent haul for Brooklyn. And I mean, Brooklyn is kind of – I was watching them a little bit. They're playing the Bulls right now. They're up a little bit. But here's Brooklyn's current roster before we get into Phoenix. It's Cam Thomas, Spencer Dinwiddie, Ben Simmons, Dorian Finney-Smith, Royce O'Neal, not Jay Crowder anymore, Mikal Bridges, Cam Johnson, Watanabe, Edmund Sumner, Nick Claxton, Daron Sharp, Patty Mills, Seth Curry, and Joe Harris. When I woke up this morning and saw that, you know, when you actually kind of finally see it, I thought for sure Brooklyn was still going to be making trades. I didn't think that they were done, and they didn't do anything the rest of the way. I don't know if this team – I don't think this team is a title – no, they're not a title contender, but I think they're going to be a fun team to watch. They were fun when I was watching them. I think they got every good 3-and-D wing in the league on their team that everybody would want. It's pretty incredible.
They do. They've got a lot of very nice players, you know, like a lot of good to very good players. They don't have a superstar anymore, obviously, but they also don't really have any bad players in their rotation. Like they're deep and they're solid, and they've got a lot of forwards with size that can defend and shoot. So, like, they're going to be interesting. Just on paper, they remind me a little bit of that Denver Nuggets team that won, I think, 57 games. The one with, like, Gallinari and Andre Miller and JaVale McGee.
Oh, right after the Carmelo trade. Yeah.
Yeah, they remind me a little bit of that. Like, no superstars, but just a bunch of solid guys and good depth. And we'll see what it looks like in terms of chemistry. But, yeah, I think they could be pretty good. And I mean, to be able to get all those first round picks back, I mean, four first round picks, like that's pretty much expected for KD. This is Kevin Durant, but like for them, it's nice because Houston controls Brooklyn's next five first round picks, the Nets picks themselves. So all for right, them to be, for them to then get these Suns picks sort of mitigates that a little bit where they can build through the draft. Some now. I don't know how great those picks are going to be, obviously, especially the next couple of years. But hey, who knows? Once Chris Paul and KD get older, who knows what's going to happen to the Suns with some of those more distant ones. So that, you know, that's a pretty good haul, man, for a guy that probably wanted out of there. Like, I mean, Cam Johnson and Mikal Bridges are really nice players.
Yeah.
I mean, really nice. Like Cam Johnson's an incredibly efficient shooter. He's got great size. Bridges is, you know, an all defensive first team caliber defender, obviously a very good shooter as well. I mean, they're top tier. I can't even call them role players. They're just like high end starters. And then of course they got Crowder and flipped him for 5 second round picks. So that's just more in that chest of assets. Like, man, I mean, look, the last couple years have been a failure for the Nets, obviously, with the big three, the way it went. But, you know, it could be worse than where they're at right now. Again, got a lot of nice players. I'm also surprised that they didn't ship one or some of them out at the deadline, but they're just rolling with this squad. And I think they're probably a playoff team still. They could be sneaky good, very good defensive personnel. When you look at like Dorian Finney-Smith and Mikal Bridges and Ben Simmons and Claxton. Like, Dinwiddie's got great size for a point guard. Cam Johnson, like, they've got some good defensive players. Royce O'Neal. So, like, they're gonna be a scrappy team, man. No doubt about it, in my opinion.
I don't disagree. I think I'm kind of happy that they didn't make a move, because I think it's going to be fun watching them the next however many games. What is it, 25, 30 games until the season's over. Now, who knows what's going to happen in the offseason? And I think you brought up a great point that gets overlooked in this a little bit. Houston controls a lot of their next drafts, and Brooklyn, they really can't afford to tank, you know? And I think this kind of ensures that they're going to hang around a little bit. And I think considering the circumstances, I agree with you. Obviously, in the grand scheme of things, it is a failure with KD, Kyrie, and Harden. I think a lot of it was out of their control, per se, but that's life in the NBA. And I think that they did the best they could considering the circumstances. And, you know, when you look at Phoenix now, it's funny. It's very, very funny, because I was just having this conversation probably 48 hours ago, 24 hours ago, when the Lakers made all their moves, when they traded Russ. I was like, man, the Lakers just got a lot better. If you look kind of at the Western Conference, it's probably as down as it's been. And I want to say 20 years maybe. It wasn't looking really good. You had Ja Morant say that he wasn't worried about anybody in the West. And then today happened. And I think without a shadow of a doubt, I think on FanDuel bought the Phoenix Suns have the third best odds. I think on Bovada, I saw today that they have the second best odds. Wow. The Phoenix Suns are the, I want to say, overwhelming favorite in the Western Conference. The fact that they still have Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and Kevin Durant, they did not have to trade DeAndre Ayton, who I think that's a good thing for them. I think he'll be good for them. This is a squad, man. This is a freaking squad, and I think they're going to be major players in the buyout market. It's good, man. This new owner came in, made a freaking splash. I don't think this deal gets done if that sale gets approved Friday. I think this guy pushed for it. I think it's a hell of a deal. And Phoenix, man, they, until something else happens, they got to be the overwhelming favorite coming out of the West, Brett.
Yeah, they're my favorite for sure. They're my pick to come out of the West. And like, if you wanted to pick them for the NBA title, I certainly wouldn't blame you. I mean, they're absolutely loaded. And it makes some sense. Like, I mean, that duo of Booker and Durant is just going to be so devastating. I mean, how do you stop those guys? And then to have Chris Paul running the show and DeAndre Ayton, like, he's going to feast too. Like, I can't imagine how teams are going to cover these guys. I love it. And like, if you're a Suns fan, like, I was kind of tweeting about this, but just this convergence of good things that have happened in just the last, you know, few days or weeks, I guess you could say, because they've won 9 of their last 11 games. Their last two games were probably DeAndre Ayton's two best games of the season. They got Devin Booker back in their last game after he missed 21 games due to an injury. Then you have the new owner, Ishbia, take over. And then you have them get Kevin fucking Durant. It's a great time to be a Suns fan right now. Like, I know they miss Bridges and Johnson to an extent, but like, you know, you got KD. Like, it's, This is crazy stuff, man. It's a super team. I mean,
if you're Phoenix, you have to do this trade. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. You have to do this trade. Chris Paul is 37 years old. He's got that kind of that weird contract where I believe it's only partially guaranteed for $15 million, but it's got to be picked up by a certain date. Like, this is big time. And I think that their window, not their window with KD and Devin Booker, because I think KD is so good, he can play. He's got a couple more great years left in him. But, you know, specifically with Chris Paul, he's 37. Like, it's time now. I think their window with these three specifically, I think maybe be a year or two. But the window with KD and Devin Booker, I mean, who knows? That's I don't know how you defend it, Brett. I really don't. And we talked a little bit earlier off air. Reggie Jackson got traded from the Clippers to the Hornets today. There's already been Chris Haynes reported on TNT right before the Nets-Bulls game. He's going to get bought out, and he's already – kind of been in contact with the Phoenix Suns. I think that would be an excellent backup for Chris Paul, because that's the only concern that I have with Phoenix is injuries and depth. That's it. And I think that you take that 10 times out of 10. I think the buyout market, I even saw you tweet something earlier today, and I couldn't agree with you more. It's the Phoenix Suns. It's Phoenix, Arizona. It's warm. It's beautiful. You have this super energetic owner that clearly is has more money than God, basically, and he's going to spend it on his basketball teams. And there's probably going to be no better place to go to this season if you're a buyout guy.
I've got a question for you guys about this trade. I want to get your opinion on it. Do you think initially Ayton was in the trade and the Nets demanded Bridges, or is this the way the Suns wanted it to be?
I always assumed Ayton would have to be part of a KD deal with the Suns. Now, he wasn't eligible at the time that KD first demanded his trade before the season started, but he became eligible like in mid-January. And I just assumed like if KD was going to get dealt to the Suns at the deadline, he would have to be part of it just because of his value. And then obviously like things have been a little rocky with between him and the Suns. I wouldn't be surprised if that was the case, but I don't know if it would be more of the Nets saying, no, we want Bridges, not Ayton, or the Suns saying, no, we're keeping Ayton because we think he's going to be a key to really making this work with Durant, Booker, Paul. Like, because if you think about it, like he's super important to this team.
I am surprised, but not surprised. The DeAndre Ayton Phoenix Suns relationship is one of the weirder relationships to me in the NBA. Like, I really, really would not be surprised if next offseason DeAndre Ayton is traded over the summer. Maybe it's for one of those dudes in Toronto. I honestly have no idea. But I think that Brooklyn, I would rather have had the package that Brooklyn got than what if you had DeAndre Ayton in that. And I'm agree with Brett. I thought for sure DeAndre Ayton was going to have to be in that deal. I thought that's why a deal didn't get done this last offseason when KD originally demanded the trade. It's just the relationship between Phoenix and DeAndre Ayton is – it's weird, man. I don't understand it. You know, we had that thing, if you guys remember, over the summer or right before training camp when they had that players thing and DeAndre Ayton was like, no, I haven't talked to Monty Williams. It's just – it's weird, man. It's just a weird situation going back to that contract thing. I don't get it. Like I said, I would – I'm glad that he's there. I'm very glad for Phoenix fans that he's still there because I think he's going to have a major impact now. I just don't know what his long-term future in Phoenix looks like. I have no idea.
Yeah, well, they're going to just see what it looks like with this group, you know, and if he's as important as I think he might be, then they're probably going to be, you know, inclined to keep him long-term. But yeah, a good point, though, would be that the Nets do have Nick Claxton. So maybe, Mikey, like you were saying, maybe that's why they would have preferred someone like Bridges, because Claxton's been phenomenal. He's been better than Ayton this season, and they're obviously very high on him, and they maybe don't think those two can play together. And, you know, it would make sense that they don't want to just bring in another center when you've got a guy like Claxton who's younger than Ayton and has definitely been playing better this season. So yeah, they probably got the guys they wanted. And I think, like you said, Steve, the Suns were just determined to get that done. But yeah, by all accounts, Ishbia was pushing to get it done. And what an entrance. What a way to come into the organization and take over, bringing Kevin Durant with you. I mean, that's just an epic move. And God, you got to be so excited if you're a Suns fan.
You got to, man. I could not agree more. It's crazy because, like I said, if you were to ask me 48 hours ago, I was like, man, I think the Suns, they might be done. Like, not saying that they can't move up in the standings, not saying that they can't make another NBA Finals push, but they certainly weren't. I didn't have them as one of my favorites to come out. It's hilarious and awesome how quickly this stuff works. I can't remember the last time someone of Kevin Durant's stature got moved. It's phenomenal. It's very phenomenal and it's awesome. And I love the NBA, but moving from KD onto another legend in the NBA, LeBron James, his team certainly got better. Producer Mikey, what do you got for us with the Lakers? Who did they all trade out? Obviously, we all know about Russell Westbrook, and who do they all get back? Because their team is completely, completely reconfigured.
So in a three-team trade with the Utah Jazz and the Minnesota Timberwolves, the Utah Jazz receive Russell Westbrook, who is expected to be bought out, Damian Jones from the Lakers, Juan Toscano-Anderson by way of the Lakers as well. The Jazz receive a Lakers 27 first-round pick, and it's protected 1-4. So might not even be a first-round pick. I don't know. I never saw if that conveys into seconds immediately or not. And then the Timberwolves receive Mike Conley Jr., NAW, Second round pick in 24 and two more second round picks. So 3 second round picks total. The Lakers are the big winners in this one, obviously. They received D'Angelo Russell, Jared Vanderbilt, who feels like he went for a song, and Malik Beasley, who also feels like a bit of a throw-in and all this. So all things considered, the Lakers substantially sent out Russell Westbrook, who there were some reports today that he was going to get sent home if he hadn't been traded by today. And one first round pick for those three players, that's quite the haul.
Yeah, that's they did well. They did very well. If you just look at the whole deadline too, because obviously there was the Rui trade, you know, last week or whenever that was, pretty good while before the deadline. And then and we already talked about that, I know, on previous episode. And then there was was it Pat Beverly for Mo Bamba, right?
That was the other one, yeah.
Yeah. So like if you look at just even just like picks aside, you know, like the players, like, so okay, the guys that are outgoing would be Westbrook, Beverly, Thomas Bryant, Juan Toscano-Anderson, Damian Jones, and then Kendrick Nunn from the Rui deal. And then they got back Hachimura, of course, D'Angelo Russell, Jared Vanderbilt, Malik Beasley, Mo Bamba, and Davon Reed from the Nuggets. I'm not sure if he's going to stick around or what's going to happen with him, if he's going to play much at all. But that's pretty damn good just in terms of upgrading your personnel because, like, you know, between D'Lo's going to be a starter. I think Beasley's almost certainly going to be a starter at the two. And then I don't know if they're going to want to try some Bamba and AD together or if it's just going to be AD at the five with LeBron and then either Hachimura or Vanderbilt. But either way, like, five of those guys could be starters, you know, in various lineups for the Lakers. So, I mean, they brought in some nice players, obviously no stars. And then losing Westbrook is like maybe not really like a loss like that in itself. He's been rough and it's just not a good fit. I'll just leave it at that. And none of those other guys they lost. Like, I mean, Thomas Bryant, very good offensive player, not a very good defensive player. And then Nunn was bad for them. And Toscano Anderson, I forgot, was on their team, and Damian Jones hasn't done much. So I thought they killed this deadline, man. I mean, I'd give them, like, if we were giving out grades, which we're not, but if we were, I'd probably give them like an A- at the very least. Because like with the Lakers, you have to consider like what they have to work with. Like, this isn't a team with a ton of great assets that they can trade. So considering those guys that I just mentioned and the picks that they did deal out that Mikey mentioned, like, I think considering all that, they did remarkably well. So yeah, they've given themselves a chance to compete this season. I think they've done enough to where, like, if AD and LeBron are healthy, I mean, they could be a pretty good team.
I agree, man. And I would say that I like that you said an A- because I can't give them an A+. I agree with you because they put themselves in this hole with the entire Russell Westbrook trade. But to move him and for what they got, I thought they already nailed the deadline. I think everything that they did today was just a cherry on top. But to get – we were hearing before this trade that Malik Beasley and Jared Vanderbilt were going for at least a number one pick each. And the fact that they traded a number one pick that is protected 1 through 4, and if it's not used at a certain date, eventually turns into a second round pick, that's unbelievable. And Malik Beasley and D'Angelo Russell are both top 15 in total threes made this season. The Lakers don't have anyone in the top 50. Like, this is going to help them out tremendously. I know that the bar was pretty low, but I love this trade for them. Malik Beasley's young. I love Jared Vanderbilt. I know that a lot of teams like them. I know, Mikey, you were dying to get him in Portland. And D'Angelo Russell is whatever. I mean, he's doing an extension. Maybe they let him walk. Maybe they get Kyrie Irving next season. I think this is a very, very nice trade for our boy Rob Pelinka, a.k.a. Rob Lowe. And I thought they nailed this trade deadline. I really, really did. They did really well. I don't know what some of these other teams were thinking trading with them. I don't know necessarily what Utah was thinking. Maybe the market wasn't quite as robust for Beasley and Vanderbilt as it was made out to be. But I love this for the Lakers. I love everything that the Lakers did. I have nothing bad to say about
the other, you know, the trade everyone had been talking about for so long was Miles Turner and Buddy Hield. Like, that was the dream. I'm not sure I don't like D'Lo, Vanderbilt, and Beasley better than Turner and Hield, like, as a package. You know what I mean? Like, Vanderbilt's Vanderbilt's a dog. I can't wait to see him next to AD. And Beasley and D'Lo, man, those guys are going to light it up. Like, you remember the Timberwolves last season. Like, that's a fun backcourt. They've obviously got some chemistry, some history together. They're both pretty young, can both really shoot the ball. It changes the look of this Lakers team. Like, these are their shooters now, those two guys there in the backcourt. They're going to be a much different looking team after this. So I think that's all you could really ask for as a Lakers fan. So yeah, I'm A-, I think feels fair, but I'm excited to see what the new look Lakers look like.
A quick question for you guys. How do you feel about this trade in comparison to if they had gotten Kyrie Irving for the two first round picks instead?
I can answer that first. It all depends what you're looking at. Obviously, I think if they had Kyrie, I think that vaults them into like an actual title contender. It's like, okay, we got KD. I'm sorry. Wow, KD. We got Kyrie. We got LeBron and we got AD. I don't know. Like, I kind of like this trade for them too. It's not to say that they can't get Kyrie in the offseason. It just seems like they're a much deeper team and they are a better constructed team, if that makes any sense. I mean, Brett, obviously, if you want to win the title this year, you want Kyrie. I don't necessarily know, though, you know, let's say they do get Kyrie and this KD trade still goes through. I mean, are you still winning the title against that? I don't know. Brett, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think this gives them a higher floor. The Kyrie trade would have given them a higher ceiling.
Yeah. You know,
I think I tweeted as much. If Kyrie had been there, man, like this, and AD and LeBron are healthy in the playoffs, all three of them are healthy in the playoffs, like that might be the last team you want to see in a series in the playoffs, like in the West, because that could be super tough. But there's obviously, you know, health concerns with all those guys really at this point. And who knows what their depth would have looked like compared to how it is now, because I think they're deeper now than they would have been if they had done a Kyrie trade. It's hard for me to pick this over the Kyrie trade that didn't happen.
And speaking of Kyrie, I watched that game last night. I know you did too, Brett. And we were joking off air before we came on. Seemed like Kyrie has been a Maverick for the last 10 years. It was a smooth fit and Kyrie did Kyrie things. I cannot wait to see him and Luka offensively. I think it's going to be awesome. I think people are way, way, way overplaying. Oh, there's only one ball. They'll be fine. Kyrie has played off the ball before. He did it in Brooklyn. I mean, I think people forget that first year, James Harden was actually the point guard of that team. Kyrie played a lot of off ball. I like it. I like what Dallas did. Now, I'd be, as I said the other night, it's a little crazy that they did this without even discussing an extension, but if we're just talking about Kyrie on the floor, I thought he looked great. Brett, what did you see?
Yeah, man. He looked very comfortable, was in a good rhythm. I think he could have scored 40 points if he had wanted to. But, you know, it's his first game with the team. He wasn't trying to force anything or get too aggressive. He was very much within the flow of the game. And you know, there were some outstanding performances by other guys in the Mavericks. It was just a really solid team effort. So, like, you know, it was a great win beating the Clippers in LA. And like, yeah, even more than Kyrie's performance itself, it was like the vibe, like just looking at the guys on the bench, like everybody, like Luka was, you know, obviously had to sit this one out, but he was very much into the game on the bench. They all were, the vibes were good. They were playing well. The effort was excellent. It looked more like last season, which was like a big part of why they were such a good defense last season. Like, it wasn't the personnel or even the scheme necessarily. It was just like the effort, like the buy-in factor. And last night was some of the most of that I've seen this season from this team. So, you know, they were probably a little extra amped up because it was Kyrie's debut, but I think they're excited to have him there. You know, players love Kyrie. It's something that we have to keep in mind because fans love him too. Some don't, but in general, like he's a very popular player, but the media does not like him. And it's like you get this idea that he's not a good teammate almost. Like that picture is almost painted of him where, like, you know, he's a bad guy to have on your team and this and that. Like, yeah, there's in some ways for sure. But when it comes down to just basketball and how he gets along with his teammates, you never hear anybody say a bad thing about Kyrie. Like, he's very well like, that's why he was elected into his position in the Players Association. Like, it's why he leads player voting, you know, for guards every year for All-Star. Like, he's extremely popular. I think the Mavs players love him too. And the vibes were great, man. So yeah, it's a trial period. know, we're going to see how this thing goes. And if it doesn't work out, it doesn't work out. If it does work out, you know, maybe they can bring him back longer term. But for now, it's kind of a rental. But you know what? Kawhi Leonard was a rental for the Raptors. And if, hey man, if they win a title or get to the finals, like, I think they probably bring him back, and maybe the Luka Kyrie thing goes on for a while. But I like it, man. I like the fit.
Did you hear what Brian Windhorst said today?
Oh, stirring shit up about, oh, it's not done yet. Like, he wants to go to Phoenix or something.
Well, he said he was intrigued by it. I thought that was very interesting because, you know, obviously it came out that Phoenix had offered Chris Paul to Brooklyn.
Right.
For Kyrie. It's interesting. Just very, very interesting. I think Kyrie, he certainly has the NBA, I will say, the NBA world in his hands. And it's very, very interesting.
It's a very, very good chance that he's not on the Mavericks next year. Even if things go relatively well this season, there's a very good chance he's with one of these other teams. But
Mikey,
so far, so good, though. So far, so good.
So far, so good, man. I thought they looked great. Mikey, I want to bring you in here because Brett and I want to ask you a question. How do you feel about Josh Hart going to the New York Knicks and the Blazers getting Cam Reddish, some guy's name who I'm not even going to try to pronounce, Ryan Arciano, a 2023 first-round pick, lottery protected. If it doesn't convey, it turns into 4 second-rounders. How are you doing today? How did you like that? I know I spoke to you last night. You seemed like you were okay. Obviously, we also have Gary Payton going back to the Golden State Warriors for one of those 5 second-round pick deals. There was 2 other ones today, which I'm sure we'll get to. How are you feeling about your Portland Trailblazers today?
I'm good. I'm doing about as good as second-round picks are doing.
So you're doing great.
Yeah, they had a big day. No, I am. I think a lot of this was really foreshadowed and not at all surprising. Josh Hart's a guy who has a really
I'm sorry, I don't mean to interrupt. I completely forgot about Thibault too. That's another guy that Portland got.
I feel great about that.
Couple different trades they were involved with. Yeah.
I love that Matisse Thibault trade. Love it for Portland. But go ahead, Mikey. I'm sorry to interrupt.
No, for sure. The Josh Hart trade, kind of without doing that, we wouldn't have gotten Thibault. It all kind of kicks off with the Josh Hart thing, which sort of felt like an inevitability. If you've been watching them the last few weeks, there's something fundamentally broken with the team. And it does go back to the fact that they're just too small. Josh Hart kind of misplaced as a small forward, covering up for the mistakes of these, you know, small offensive minded guards. It just wasn't working out. I think this is kind of the kind of shakeup that we needed. And really, if you're looking at just Josh Hart for a first round pick in a vacuum is good business, let alone that we get to give Cam Reddish a shot. I know Brett's a big Cam Reddish guy, and he might be a good third draft guy in this situation. It opened up some space for us to bring in Thibault as well, who's sort of what you want out of GP2 for this team, but with more size. I think GP2 is more of a point of attack defender, where Thibault's got that, like, you know, positionally, he can guard wings more. He's better in help defense. I think it's more what we need out of that position. And yeah, it kind of breaks my heart to see Josh Hart go. He's a fan favorite. Everybody loves him. He's going to light it up in New York and just be such a fan favorite. But I'm not too crushed by this at all. I think more of it gives us just like flexibility going into the offseason. We kept our powder dry. If we want to sit on a big trade later on, I just don't think there was anything for us this year that really moved the needle. So, you know, sayonara, Josh Hart. GP2 doesn't hurt so much because I feel like he had a foot out the door the minute he got here. He played hurt most of the time. He was hurt half the season, never seemed like he really wanted to play. Felt like it's fitting that he went back to the Warriors because it kind of feels like he's been a Warrior the whole season. You know what I mean? You get that vibe, Brett?
Yeah. The mitten era just never took off in Portland, man. Like, it was weird, man. It was weird how much time he missed. Like, it was kind of unclear about what did they know when they signed him. Like, were they expecting him not to play? I never really was clear on that. But then it certainly, you know, went longer than I think anyone expected. It just seemed to drag on forever. He's got to get right. I get that. That's fine. But then even when he came back, man, he wasn't the same guy he was for Golden State last year. Now, he's not as young as people probably think. He's in his 30s. I think he's either 30 or 31, but he's,
he was a buck in the Jason Kidd era.
Yeah, he's been around. So he's not a young guy. He's at the age where he could be losing a little bit of his juice. If you think about some of those alley-oops he was catching and stuff with the Warriors, like, I don't know.
He was definitely passing those up this year.
Yeah, and then the shooting, like, he had kind of an outlier season shooting with the Warriors last year. He wasn't very good for the Blazers. Like, I just, there was obviously moments of really nice individual defense, but I don't know. He doesn't
have like a signature moment on the season. Like, I was trying to think back on that today, and I was like, he's kind of saw some flashes.
That lob he threw to Shaedon Sharpe in his first game was probably the best thing he's done as a Blazer. But yeah, it was just a very forgettable little stint. So I'm with you, man. Like, I don't miss him at all, just because there was nothing to get attached to. The whole thing was kind of a bummer. I'm actually kind of glad he's gone.
Well, and there's already some stuff coming out that's like he had a little bit of locker room cancer things going on, and there's always stuff behind the scenes that you don't see. And there's got to be reasons why Chauncey was only playing him 13 minutes a night, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, he averaged like 17, but a lot of nights it was just like, just a little 13 minute, like nothing shift from GP.
The vibes around it just weren't good. And then, Hart, like, he's one of the coolest dudes in the NBA and a very good player. But just in terms of his fit on this team, I can do without him.
The way I look at it is that we've got Jeremy Grant's free agency coming up, and that's got to take priority over Josh Hart.
Absolutely.
No question.
Absolutely. So, and Cam Reddish, I like him a lot just because he's still got a lot of upside. The physical tools are pretty impressive. Athleticism, the length, he's 6'8 with a 7'1 wingspan. He does things in a game. When you watch him, it's like, oh my God, like he'll look like a star at times. Like he'll make some of the most difficult shots look just effortless. Like there's no question about his talent. He's a top tier talent. He just hasn't put it together at the NBA level. But I'm excited to see him within the structure of the Blazers with Damian Lillard, the guy who I consider the best leader in basketball. Like, what kind of effect is he going to have on Cam Reddish? He already came out and said he's always liked Reddish. He's been a big fan of his game. So I could see Reddish, if he was ever going to blossom, it's now. But it is kind of now or never. If it doesn't happen here, it's probably not going to happen. But that's exciting. And then Thybulle, like, man, I mean, he's an elite defensive player. It's just so weird that a guy, he's 24, 25 years old. He's already made two all-defensive teams.
Right. People forget that. I kind of forgot about that myself.
Elite defensive player, but he's just been so rough on offense that, like, because I thought – he was a guy that, leading up to the deadline, when I was looking at the 2019 guys that were going to be, that didn't get their extensions, that were going to be restricted free agents and might be getting moved. And Baisley was one, and Cam Reddish was one. And I was thinking Jackson Hayes. And then Thybulle was a name that came to me as well. But I was like, he's not playing much for Philly, but they're going to need that guy in the playoffs. I guess offensively, he's just been so rough that they don't think it's worth it. Now, I will say, I was watching their game the other night, man. And I think he hit a couple of threes, but his shot didn't look that bad. It looked better than it has in the past. Like, I think it is something he's been working on to where maybe he could be like, he could hit open threes. Now, I don't know. I haven't watched a ton of him on Philly just because he hasn't played this season that much. But, you're getting an elite defensive player. It's just a matter of, is he such a liability offensively that you can't play him?
Do you want a hot take, Brett?
Yeah.
This will be a hot take. And how much I love this dude. He's one of my favorite Bucks ever. I think I would kind of rather have Thybulle over PJ Tucker.
I mean, I'm shocked that he hasn't played more for Philly. Like, I would just think they value him.
Now for Portland, he fits unbelievable. Anybody that watches Portland, I watched that game Monday. They desperately need like a wing defender, like a legit wing defender. I think it's great for them going forward. I really wanted Cam Reddish on the Bucks, but I think he's in probably an even better spot than he would have been in Milwaukee. He's going to get a chance to play a lot. And like you said, Dame's an outstanding leader between Dame, Thybulle, and Cam Reddish. I like what Portland did at the trade deadline. Obviously, this is not a win-now move. This is kind of a future move. But I think, once again, I think we're not doing grades, but I think Portland is better today than they were 48 hours ago.
I think for this season, they didn't get meaningfully worse, and they also made their flexibility in the future as a team better. I'd give them like a B+.
Yeah, it's solid. It's certainly not the most exciting deadline, but I think they're just being patient, which can obviously be frustrating. I would say, yeah, they didn't get significantly better or worse. That's for sure in terms of like this season, unless they
got a bunch of picks for it.
They did. No, it's, I think as a move, I think it's a good move. I'd probably give them, somewhere in the B range. But if you're just thinking about this season and you're a Blazers fan, it's pretty disappointing. And you're kind of hoping that Reddish just hits. Cause like, he's the one with the most upside out of these guys for sure. Knox, I don't have any expectations for him.
I wouldn't be shocked if he got cut.
Yeah. Now he's had some nice moments for the Pistons this season. He's had some really nice games. He's looked pretty good at times. I watched quite a bit of him there. But I wouldn't rule him out of like maybe making his way into the rotation, but it's all about Thibel and Reddish and Reddish can defend some too, especially if he's motivated.
To quick hit on a couple of trades that kind of went in coincided with the Blazers acquisition, the 76ers received Jalen McDaniels.
I like that.
From the Hornets.
Yeah, that's
the
nice.
The Hornets receive Svi Mykhailiuk and second round picks coming from the Blazers. That's how they got Thibel. Kind of tied in with this trade, even though they are separate trades. But in the trade that sent Gary Payton the second back to the Warriors, the Hawks received Sadiq Bey.
Woo!
And the Pistons received James Wiseman, while there's the homecoming of Gary Payton, which, you know, it didn't work out for a GP in Portland. I'm pretty happy for him that he got to land back there. He was happy there. We've already talked a little bit about him. I'd like to know what you guys think about the Hawks getting Bey and the Pistons taking a second draft with former number two overall pick James Wiseman.
Brett loves it. All right, I'm on my second high noon, which means it's nothing. I'm probably going to have four or five tonight. I may even do a shot because I'm that fired up about today. Atlanta Hawks, what the hell are you guys doing? This is like the 20th year in a row that John Collins has been rumored in trades all year long and doesn't get traded. I have no idea what the Atlanta Hawks are doing. I have no idea what they're thinking. They remain, to me, just a profoundly weird team that is going nowhere. I don't understand it. I don't know if Trae Young is going to be traded in the offseason. I just have no idea what they're doing. I thought they were a team that could have similar to Toronto. They just didn't really do anything. Like, what is Sadiq Bey for you? Where is he going to fit in on your team? Because you already got like a million different wings. I have no idea what they're trying to do, what they're doing. I'm just befuddled by them. I don't really care about them. For James Wiseman, we all know why Golden State did this trade. I know it was COVID, but they deserve to get some flack. They took James Wiseman over a lot of other players that they should have taken. And they traded James Wiseman because just by trading him today, they saved $131 million. It's the only reason why they made that trade. I mean, you knew it was coming. Our buddy Adler, shout out, RIP. It kind of is what it is. I mean, it's kind of a Golden State wanted to get on. I don't know. They're not under the salary cap, but they wanted to save some money from Atlanta. I don't understand Atlanta's roster construction. I don't understand what they're doing in Atlanta. They gave up a bunch of picks for DeJounte Murray. He looks great, but the team, they're not good. I don't get it. I don't get it. I don't get it. Brett, what do you think about Atlanta?
Man, they just beat the Suns tonight. The Suns, the same team we said was going to the finals.
Okay. But,
I was just checking the score and the game came on. That was cool. But yeah, man, I mean, they're 500. You know, they're in the play-in right now as it stands. Bay's a nice piece. He's a nice depth piece that can certainly provide some shooting, some pretty good size, a little bit of defense. I mean, he's a nice player. You know, I think he's going to be coming off the bench for them, but it's a nice depth piece. They didn't really lose anybody. I know they traded like Frank Kaminsky and Justin Holiday to the Rockets for Garrison Matthews and Bruno Fernando. I don't think either of those guys are going to play too much. But as far as the Collins thing, I think, man, I just think they haven't been offered anything that's better than John Collins. Like, nobody's offered a player that's better than John Collins. I think it's as simple as that.
But can I just say something though? Like, I don't want to get like all human being on us here, but like, why wouldn't you just come out and say, hey, we're not trading John Collins? Like, he's 25. I think he's a good player. If you just go back 2 years ago and watch that playoff run that Atlanta had, he was phenomenal. But it just seems like I cannot imagine. And I know
Was that game two against the Bucks? Or no, yeah. It was game one against the Bucks. I think he hit that corner three.
He was phenomenal. He was good. I don't want to compare the NBA to everyday life because I know the NBA is different. I know it's a business, but I could just not, for my psyche, imagine waking up every single day and here I am in trade rumors. I just like Atlanta could easily just come out and say, hey, we're not trading this guy. He's part of our core. It's not happening. And I get like, it's just weird. The whole thing is just weird to me. And you say tonight, like, he had a good game tonight. He's been okay for them this year. Like, I just don't understand what they're doing. And I know you and I are humongous fans of AJ Griffin. And when he has played, he's looked okay. He's the youngest guy on their team. I get it. He can't be an everyday player. It's just weird. The other Bogdan Bogdanovic, the one for Atlanta, not the one for Detroit, he seems to be in and out of the lineup all the time. I know his contract, I think, after this year is expiring. Like, I just don't understand, like, what they're doing. They kind of look like the Brooklyn Nets, frankly, except they don't have as much fun as this current version of the Brooklyn Nets. Like, it's just a weird team to me.
Yeah, I don't know. I still like their roster, man, especially now that they got Bay. Like, I kind of like them on paper, and I wouldn't be surprised if they finish the year relatively strong. Maybe they're still in the play-in. Maybe they can get to the six. I'd have to look at that, but I don't know, man. I mean, they obviously are still going for it with this group. Like, they didn't blow it up. And like I said, I think they wanted to trade Collins, and they just, the right package has just never come along. Like, no, I don't think the interest in him outweighs his value to the Hawks, even if that value's not tremendous. So I'm looking at the standings now. I mean, they're only like 2.5 games back of Miami, who's in the six. So they could make up a little bit of ground. But yeah, they're not the most exciting team. They should be better than they are. I was surprised that that's all that happened, that nobody else was outgoing at this trade deadline, but they got a little better with Sadiq Bey. I mean, if you're bringing that guy off your bench.
And you know, to be clear, they didn't give up anything. Like, I'll be a little bit fair to them. They really didn't give up anything to get him.
No. So, I can't be mad at it. It wasn't the most exciting deadline, especially, you know, when you get these teams like the Blazers or the Hawks where it's like, all right, they could be good, but they need to reshape the roster, add a couple pieces, and then they don't do anything. Like, it's pretty disappointing, but at the same time, man, I think they could be okay. They could still make some noise. I'm not out on the Hawks. And then I think earlier in this, we'd mentioned the Jalen McDaniels thing to the Sixers.
Oh, that's I love that.
That's a really nice get for them. He was a guy I wanted to see Portland go after, or maybe Denver, or any of these teams that were looking for kind of like that long wing defender, can shoot a little bit too, can play a little offense. Like, he's a really nice player. Not quite what his brother is, his younger brother, but he can play. I don't know where he's going to fit into that rotation, you know, but I would imagine he plays. I think people are going to, now that he's, you know, on a really good team, I think people are going to start to notice the growth that he's had as a basketball player. He's improved a lot this season. I'm excited about that. I think that's a really nice get for Philly. So they, you know, yeah, they lost Thybulle, but to bring in Jalen McDaniels, he's going to be an unrestricted free agent this coming off season. So we'll see what happens after that.
Can we also talk about the other team in that trade with the Charlotte Hornets? Like, they're another team that I'm like, what are you doing? Like, I saw PJ Washington was in numerous trade rumors.
Yeah.
I saw Kelly Oubre. I know that he's hurt right now. He was in a bunch of trade rumors. Terry Rozier, like, I have no idea what that team is doing. Like, they're just they're another weird team. Like, what exactly are you doing? You're 15-41. I know LaMelo has missed a ton of time, but like, where are you guys going? You know, they send Mason Plumlee to the Clippers. They get back Reggie Jackson, who is the guy that they got back for Mason Plumlee. They're already set at, like, he's not going to beat anybody out for the Hornets. And they got a 2028 second round pick. They're obviously going to buy him out. Like, that's just another team where I'm just scratching my head. Like, what are you guys doing?
Yeah, I think player development is going to be important for them. And I think trading Plumlee and clearing some room for Mark Williams to be, you know, their starting center and a 25 plus, maybe 30 minute a game guy for the rest of the season is super important, because that kid's probably gonna be their starting center next season, and he can play. I'm a big fan of Mark Williams, and he's just kind of been stuck behind Plumlee. So it's gonna be probably him and Nick Richards now. And Plumlee felt like an inevitability. I'm surprised that Plumlee and Jalen McDaniels were the only guys that they traded. They must have figured McDaniels wasn't going to re-sign with them, so they wanted to get something for him. But yeah, they're just got to be about player development, building good habits, some chemistry, and then getting lucky in the draft lottery. That's pretty much where they're at, man. This feels like a lost season for the Charlotte Hornets, though. And then Wiseman, man, like, how weird is that, though?
Weird, dude. It's just, the whole thing is weird. Like, he couldn't play with them. He was a number two pick.
I don't know if he can play, period. Because everyone was saying, at first, it was like, oh, this is the perfect system for him, the perfect environment, the perfect role. All he's got to do is set screens, roll, and dunk. And, like, he couldn't even do that. So, I just read that the Pistons are planning on starting him. I don't know how legit that report is, but I don't know what they're thinking.
I think the Wiseman draft pick, it has to get graded on a little bit of a scale because it was during COVID. You couldn't interview a lot of these guys. It was just weird, right? It was all weird. But for a franchise and an owner who says that they're light years ahead of everybody, they had the number two pick. They're obsessed. The Warriors are obsessed with doing this. We're going to build one team two different ways. We're going to have these older guys, and we're going to have these bridge guys to go to the younger guys. Here's who they took James Wiseman over. And again, I know some of this is – it's got to be graded with a scale. But Tyrese Halliburton, Emmanuel Quickley, Desmond Bain, LaMelo Ball.
Yeah.
Also, no, like, they'd be pretty good Warriors, especially
the thing that I named. Here's the thing. Like, even if Wiseman turns into a player, which I'm certainly not ruling that out, okay? I have not liked what I've seen at any stage with James Wiseman, but he could still turn into a good player. I mean, right? We can't rule that out. So even if he does turn it around and turn into a good player in Detroit, the Warriors still whiffed on that pick because you just traded him away for a little bit of, well, a good amount of luxury tax bill relief and Gary Payton, who you had on the team last season and who may or may not be washed. We'll see about that. But, you know, that was the end of the Wiseman era in Golden State. Like, that's what's weird about it to me is that, wow, this was a guy that they took second overall in 2020, and now he's gone just like that. He never did anything there.
I'll be honest. Someone sent me today in a message. They said that the Blazers were interested in Wiseman. And I was like, ah, oh, God, okay, they're going to get Peyton back. Like, it just seems like that's what it's going to happen. And then when I saw that we actually got 5 second round picks instead of James Wiseman, I was fucking relieved.
Yes.
That's all I'll say about James Wiseman.
I would also prefer the 5 second round picks. I don't know, man. Like, I guess Detroit sees something in him. He's worth taking a flyer on. I mean, I don't blame a team for, hey, let's give this guy a shot. Okay, it didn't work out in his first up. It's a second draft. I mean, I'm all for that. Like, he's not a guy you just completely give up on or have no interest in at this point. But I don't know. I guess that reading that thing about how they plan on starting him was wild to me when they have Durin, who's already probably better than Wiseman will ever be, if we're being real. So
it looks like it to me.
Yeah, for sure. So I don't know how that fit. And then Bagley is there too. Like, Jesus, that's going to be a tough watch.
We'll move on here. I wanted to ask Steve how he felt about, speaking of inevitabilities, the Bucks finally landed that dog they've been trying to get, replace PJ Tucker. We got Jay Crowder in Milwaukee. Steve, how you feeling about it?
Well, just a quick little rant. Like, I know this is fucking awesome, like, what happened with LBJ, but, like, dude, this game was supposed to start 15 minutes ago, and they're doing this fucking ceremony for him as if they didn't just do it 2 days ago. Like, come on, man. Some of us, you know, East Coasters, Central Time Zone people, like, we like to sleep. Like, this is 20 minutes late, and the dude's still walking. I'm sorry, it's still talking. I don't get this. Okay. Anyways, that's enough for me. I'm jacked, man. I'm really, really jacked. I hated that this was so drawn out. It seemed like it was going to happen the entire time. I got to give flowers to John Horst. He literally made his offer at the beginning of the season that it was going to be Jordan Nwora, George Hill, Serge Ibaka, and second round picks, or as I like to say, Cole's cash. Just on a side note, do you guys know that there was 15 second round picks moved today? I'm sorry. Let me rephrase that. I believe there was 36 second round picks. Yeah, 38 second round picks were traded.
38.
Today. 15 of them were traded in 3 trades. That's pretty crazy. Yeah, I mean, for Milwaukee, this is everything. The fact that they didn't have to give up Grayson Allen in this trade is home run. I was a little bit meh because I thought there was going to be another trade involving Grayson Allen. Obviously, I don't know if you guys have heard this, but Shams dropped right before he went on that Milwaukee, up until about 11 a.m. today, was in talks to get Fred VanVleet along with Jay Crowder. I thought that would have been interesting, but obviously I think Toronto wanted the world and Milwaukee wasn't going to budge. But yeah, Milwaukee gave their offer. They didn't budge. Second round picks are nothing. They can buy second round picks. I think three of them went to Brooklyn. Two of them went to Indiana. Yeah, it's great. I mean, I hope that Jay Crowder is in shape. He's 32. I hope that he, that he'll work out. It's kind of it's a good trade. It's a good trade for Milwaukee.
Jay Crowder is only 32.
Isn't that crazy?
Yeah.
I thought he's been in the league for 32 years.
Yeah, dude. And you know what's crazy, man? I remember I watched because Jay Crowder went to school in Milwaukee. He went to Marquette. Like, I literally watched him play in college. He played with Jimmy Butler. And obviously, Wes Matthews went to Marquette. It's a home run trade for Milwaukee. I think if we're giving grades for me, it's a B plus, A minus. We'll kind of see that can obviously go up. We'll see what the buyout market looks like. But if we're just judging this trade in a vacuum, Milwaukee trading three guys that we're not going to play for a dude the last two seasons. Two out of the last three seasons has been on an NBA Finals team and was a very, very key piece for the Phoenix Suns. Yeah, man, I'm all in. I love the switchability that Milwaukee now has. I think it's awesome. If Jay Crowder is unavailable to play a series, although I doubt it because of a matchup, Bucks can throw Bobby Portis in there. You know, when Bobby Portis isn't going to be able to play in a certain series a lot of minutes, like maybe the Boston Celtics, now you can put Jay Crowder in there. And now you don't have to rely on Grayson Allen playing 25, 30 minutes a game. He can play 10 to 15 minutes a game, do his role. Like, this is a humongous, humongous win for Milwaukee. It gives them flexibility. I was very, very annoyed at how this all went down, you know, obviously for the last 4 months. But credit to Milwaukee. I was one of the few people saying you cannot trade Grayson Allen. You cannot put him in that deal for Jay Crowder. Obviously, I wanted Grayson Allen gone for other reasons with another trade that I liked. But yeah, man, I think this is a win. To trade three guys that were not going to be in your playoff rotation to now a guy that can slide in and be that PJ Tucker role, although I don't think he's as good defensively as PJ Tucker is. I mean, he gives you streaky shooting. But yeah, man, I thought this was a home run for Milwaukee. I really, really did. Milwaukee, entire goal, same as Boston's goal, because I think these two are on a collision course, should be how does Boston defend Milwaukee and how does Milwaukee defend Boston? And I think both teams, I love the Muscala deal for Boston as well. I think both teams are good, but I really, 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 really like what Milwaukee did today.
Yeah, I'm with you, man. I agree on all counts. I think it's a nice move. It's a kind of a predictable move. I will say, like, he's just been talked about so much this season and off season. Like he's, you know, for a guy that hasn't played, like, you hear an awful lot about him. So it's like almost like he's got this hype to live up to in Milwaukee, where it's like, okay, is he, what kind of shape is he in? He's only 32, but he is 32. But if he can be the guy he was for, you know, last season, even, like, he's going to be a great fit. You know, he gives them a lot more lineup flexibility in the same sense that the way that PJ Tucker did, where you can play Giannis at the five and go small a lot easier. Just a tough guy. Like, he fits the mentality of that team. He's the kind of guy they needed and just a solid player, man. So yeah, it's a great, great little move for the Bucks. No doubt.
It is, man. And a little bit Brett Usher here. I think that Milwaukee now has one of, if not the most flexible team in the NBA as far as lineup. I think they're right there with Boston. If you want to say Boston was number one, Milwaukee was number two, I wouldn't argue. If you want to say Milwaukee was number one, Boston was number two, I wouldn't argue. Like, Milwaukee can just do a lot of different things now. You know what I mean? They can literally roll out a lineup that is Giannis, Jay Crowder, Bobby Portis, Chris Middleton, Drew Holiday. Like, that's a lineup that they could roll out. Like, you're not getting any rebounds off of that lineup. And the biggest thing, like I said, is you have to, if you're the Milwaukee Bucks, okay, how do you match up against the Boston Celtics? You know, we saw it all last playoffs against them. Milwaukee, the Chris Middleton injury just proved that Milwaukee was way too small. I mean, Tatum and Jaylen hunted Grayson Allen whenever he was on the court, and Milwaukee was forced to play him because they didn't have anybody else. And I like this trade. I mean, obviously, Jason Tatum is getting to the point where no one is going to be really able to stop him, but you can slow him down a little bit and you can save Chris Middleton for offense. Yeah, this is, I think Milwaukee is one of the big winners, and I think they're going to be active in the buyout market, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, I'm, like I said, very, very happy just judging this trade. It's an A++ home run. I'm a little disappointed that Milwaukee didn't try to flip Grayson Allen into something else. But I think this was a home run for Milwaukee.
They look good, man. They look good. It's another body you can throw at those guys. You know, it comes down to that. Like, he's a solid defensive player. Like you said, it's going to take some pressure off Middleton where he can focus more on offense. And it's a guy you can throw at Tatum and Brown. He's a guy that's very familiar with them. That's, you know, he's defended all the good big wings in the league. So he's going to do a pretty good job on
him. What else brought to, like, I know that I remember it today struck me as a conversation that you and I had last when you and I were podcasting about Boston, Milwaukee, and we were just like, man, dude, like, Wes Matthews is a dog, man. Like, he is a absolute dog. And obviously you could see it. He's 36 now, or 37, but last year he was 36, 35. And you could tell that as that series went on, because he was playing so many minutes, you know, Tatum kind of figured him out just a little bit, and Tatum would get the edge on him. But now, man, you throw out this lineup, the wings that Milwaukee has, just from defensively, that they can throw at not just Boston, but all these other teams. I mean, you look at Jrue Holiday, Javon Carter, Wes Matthews, who I think now Wes Matthews, I mean, he's playing a lot more because Bobby is hurt, but hey, the rest of the season, you can play Wes Matthews 10, 15 minutes a game. You may not play him for a week just for him to be rested and ready to go for the playoffs. But in the playoff series, like I said, Drew, Javon Carter, Chris Middleton, Wes Matthews, Jay Crowder. I think the rumor is going around that they're going to be in on Patrick Beverley as well. Just another defender that you can throw out there. I like what Milwaukee did, man. They're definitely on the wing. They're a lot taller. They're a lot bigger. They're a lot stronger. It's good. It's good. It's really, really good.
All right, real quick hitter here, guys. I want to ask Brett in particular, what do you think about what the Los Angeles Clippers did today?
Pretty solid addition. So they got Plumlee,
mm-hmm.
and then they got Bones Highland for 2 second-round picks, correct?
Correct, yeah.
Kennard went to the Grizzlies.
And they got Eric Gordon.
They got
Eric Gordon, yeah. They did a lot of shuffling. But they had a really interesting day. I wanted to know, like, in totality, do you think their team got a lot better? Are they able to stick with the Suns, the Lakers, the Warriors, Nuggets, you know, the class of the West now?
I mean, I definitely think they got better. First of all, I'm happy for Eric Gordon, man.
I am too.
I'm genuinely
so happy for him, dude. Get him out of that dumpster fire.
And honestly, I'm happy for Plumlee too. Like, he's having a great year, and I'm glad he's going to be in a winning situation too. Both of those guys. I think they're both really going to help the Clippers. Bones Highland's kind of a wild card. Like, I feel like he could go either way. Like, where he could be like a Lou Williams light type of guy, or he could just not be a good NBA player.
He could be Devontae Graham, who also got traded today.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah, to the Spurs, right? But yeah. So I think hey, man, if you can get him for 2 second-round picks, that's well worth it. He's shown more than enough at the NBA level.
That situation just kind of shifted quick.
Yeah, I mean, I feel
it it went from like not on my radar that Bones Highland was an available player a couple weeks ago to like they got to get him the fuck out of there. So that's a red flag to me. But I don't know if
there's more to it, or if it was just like the rumors themselves, like if it just when it came out that they were looking to trade him, if that just soured it for him and then it just went to shit from there. If there had been more, I don't know, but I'm surprised that's all they got for him. But, you know, he's not a guy that plays a lot of defense. He's an undersized scoring guard. Very good, very gifted as a scorer. Kind of a low risk, high upside move, I guess, for the Clippers. But overall, man, I would consider them winners. They didn't do anything huge, but like, you know, Gordon can definitely still play. Plumlee's playing the best basketball of his life. Like, that gives them kind of a different look in terms of a big. And then, you know, Bones could certainly provide some scoring punch, can play a little bit of point guard, can play either guard spot. And, you know, they've got a lot of defense around him, so maybe he wouldn't be quite the defensive liability that he was in Denver. Well,
there are rumors that they're going to be the Westbrook buyout team as well.
Yeah, that's going to be...
I don't know how that changes your opinion.
I mean, I'm all for it, man. Like, I don't know. Like, he was a terrible fit with the Lakers. There's no doubt about that.
He's got history with Paul George. That's one thing.
That's true. That's true.
They had a great season together, and it seemed like they were...
And that seems like a pretty,
really vibed.
Pretty strong rumor that they would be the Westbrook buyout.
That's what I've heard in a few different spots.
Yeah, I could see it.
It's definitely not going to be the Lakers, and it's like it's hard to really find a home for him otherwise. And it's
right.
Who's going to be the Clippers' main ball handler now without Wall or Reggie Jackson gone? It's tough to see.
Right. Yeah. To lose both of those guys who were kind of supposed to be your 1 and 2 point guards.
Mm-hmm.
And when you didn't have a lot of ball handling to begin with, they're a weird team. So yeah, maybe that would have been nice, but I think they're probably counting on the buyout market. I think it's kind of similar with the Suns. The Suns definitely need another point guard, right? They need a backup point guard and Chris Paul insurance, like, cause who knows if he's going to be healthy. And the Clippers need a point guard too. And luckily there's going to be a lot of point guards on the buyout market. Most likely, like you mentioned, Wall, Westbrook, Reggie Jackson, then Derrick Rose could get bought out.
I bet Devontae Graham's a buyout guy too. I don't think Graham's wanting him long term.
That's a good shout too. Like now he's obviously more of a backup, but like if you could get like a Wall or a Rose or maybe even like, I don't know, Pat Bev's going to be out there. So there's some pretty, as far as like buyout market standards go, some pretty decent guys.
Will Barton, baby, come to me, Will. Come to me, Will Barton.
Will Barton could help somebody. I mean,
That does carry me in. Steve, I wanted to ask you, do you think this, the Lakers got Mo Bamba, the Magic got Patrick Beverley. Is that just the funniest trade of the day?
Well, I think that the NBA world, the NBA gods owe us that if Patrick Beverley gets bought out, which it looks like he's going to be bought out, he's got to sign with Phoenix, man. He's got to sign with football. He just has to sign there just for the memes. For whatever you want, just the jokes, because those two, we don't know what Chris Paul says, but just because Patrick Beverley just shit-talked Chris Paul on national television over the summer.
He did the same thing with Westbrook, and they became best friends.
I'm just saying, man, like I would not be surprised if Patrick Beverley ends up there. I have a question for you. So you have been, we'll get to Toronto in a minute, but you've been pretty high on Cleveland. Man, Cleveland's kind of hit a little bit of a rough patch. I mean, I think they'll be fine. You know, whatever. All these teams kind of hit a little rough patch in the grind of the season. They did not make a move today.
No.
I was a little surprised by that. Obviously, I did not think that they were winning the title this year. But it's still surprising that they didn't make a move to try to enhance that. Caris LeVert, I believe, is a free agent after this season. They didn't try to move him. Are you a little surprised? And it seems like that Kevin Love is going to get bought out.
Yeah.
I'm a little perplexed by what Cleveland did, considering one of the teams, a threat in the East, Brooklyn, is no longer a threat in the East. And Cleveland just said, whatever, we're not going to do anything.
I guess my thing is, like, what could they have done, really? Like, I think they're just good with what they have. I mean, they're fourth in the East, right? They're 35-22, so they're in good shape, standings-wise. And I think the one thing that people would have pointed to maybe is like a small forward, you know, like a new starting small forward. Those are kind of the guys people had mentioned for the Cavs. But, you know, Okoro's been playing well since he's kind of become the full-time starter there. He's been playing well. He's doing his usual thing on defense. He's been really like strikingly efficient offensively as a shooter going back to January 1st, like some pretty eye-opening numbers. Now he's a low volume guy. He doesn't shoot a lot, but he's at least been making his open threes. Like, I think he's doing enough offensively where you can justify playing him, you know, 25, 30 minutes a game anyway. So I just don't know what they would have done. I know they like their big pairing. I know they love Garland and Mitchell. I think they're learning to love Okoro. And then they've got pretty good depth behind there to the point where Kevin Love's not even playing. And like you said, yeah, I think he's a guaranteed buyout guy, and I think he'll either go to probably one of the LA teams, maybe Phoenix now, or maybe Boston could look at him. But he's a guy that could help somebody, and yeah, I'm pretty sure they're gonna agree on a buyout. He's in the last year of his deal, so that's doable. But yeah, I'm not too surprised. Like if I was going to go through the league and say which teams aren't going to do anything on deadline day, like they probably would have been one of the few that I would have pointed to, because I think they're kind of good how they are. I think that's how they see it anyway. And maybe in the offseason they'll look to retool a little bit, but I think they're just going to ride out with this team and see where it takes them.
Yeah, that's pretty good. What do you feel about the Denver Nuggets? I know we kind of talked about Bones Highland being the wild card for the Clippers, but I'm a little surprised that, you know, I know that Thomas Bryant, I think, is a decent pickup for them to back up Jokic a little bit, but I thought Bones Highland was good. I know there was reportedly a little bit of drama between him and Mike Malone, and that's why he moved on, but I liked him from them. And secondly, if you're a Denver Nugget fan, I mean, come on, man. For the last, 2 months, you've been the favorite coming out of the West. In the last 24 hours, you're just chopped liver. It's going to be Phoenix. Like, I would love to see a Phoenix-Denver Nugget series just offensively alone to see what that would look like. But what do you feel kind of what Denver did at the did or didn't do at the trade deadline?
Yeah, they didn't do much. Again, they're another one of those teams that could have used a 3-and-D wing, you know, just another wing. And yeah, the Thomas Bryant thing, you know, he's not going to help them much defensively, which is kind of where they need it. Like, if they could have got Jalen McDaniels somehow, like if they could have traded Bones for him, like I would have rather had that than the second round picks, like a guy that can actually help you, like another good forward, can guard a little bit. So a little disappointing, but hey, man, they're still tops in the West. Pretty easily record wise right now. So it's not like, maybe they just don't want to rock the boat too much. Maybe the Bones thing was rocking the boat and it was like, let's just, you know, move on from that and just move on. We've got enough. I mean, I don't know about their defense, man. I think that could be an issue, but they're winning games and they must feel like they've got enough. Maybe they could look at a buyout guy too, but there's only going to be so many quality buyout guys to go around. The series I want to see is Dallas Denver. That would be that's zero defense. Like, I have a feeling I think Phoenix is gonna be tough to beat, man. Phoenix Denver would be great too, though. I mean, that could easily be the conference finals, but
it could be. I'm a little bit disappointed. I know we talked about Jalen McDaniel. I'm a little bit disappointed in Philly though, because it's very, very clear that they need a backup to Joel Embiid. You know, obviously they have Trez. I don't think he's been that good for them this year. I think he thinks he's a lot better than what he thinks he is. And obviously Doc Rivers has just feels the need to play him. But, you know, when you look at the Nuggets getting Thomas Bryant, Clippers getting Plumlee, Celtics getting Mike Muscala, and Philly just doesn't do anything. Actually, with their trade, they actually ducked the tax. I wonder if that was maybe part of it. I don't know. I was just a little bit disappointed in them because I think they have a really good team. I think this might be I don't want to say that, but I think James Harden is having a year where, all right, let's go all in. You know what I mean? Like, so I was a little bit disappointed in them. And lastly, Brett, Toronto. All for the last 3 weeks, all we heard was Toronto's not playing good. They're going to see how this road trip goes. It didn't go very well. They were going to be sellers. Sell, 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 and nothing. They stayed the course. They kept the team. They made one little small trade. And that was it. I don't think Toronto is going anywhere. What are your thoughts on Toronto?
Yeah, I was on the Off the Ball podcast last week, and we were talking about Toronto, like whether or not they were going to be sellers, because everyone was kind of expecting them to. And I was like, I don't see them as sellers. Now, I see them. I thought they would trade Anunoby, but I thought the moves that they would make would be like more to just retool. And just because I felt like they were maybe just a piece or two away from being really good again, like they were last season, because it's pretty much the same guys. And so is Poeltl that piece? Maybe. I mean, he's an excellent rim protector. He's a very good passer. Just a smart player, good player, big dude, intimidating presence. They don't have anybody like that right now. They haven't really since, like, I guess Gasol or Valanciunas, but like he's a true big and he gives them a lot of rim protection. I don't know, man. Like, they must just think that they can still be pretty good with this group. That's why I was so high on them, man. Like, they were so good last year. And then it's just like the same guys. It's like, why wouldn't they be good. They're not even as good. They're not even close. Like they've been pretty bad all season. So it's really hard to make sense of why they've been so disappointing. Now I know, like, in terms of their differential, like they should be better. They're better than their record would suggest, you know, like their net rating's a lot better than their record is. They've definitely underachieved, lost a lot of close games, maybe more than anybody. Scotty Barnes started off the season rough. So did Van Vliet. Those guys have been better. So I don't know, man. It was weird. I'm shocked that Anunoby wasn't traded. I thought that I would have bet anything he was going somewhere, whether it was Memphis or, you know, any one of these teams that was looking at him. Maybe Portland.
I'm wondering if they're going to blow it up this offseason. If there's going to be trades coming this offseason, especially with the weirdness of the contracts or the uncertainty with the contract of Fred VanVleet, Gary Trent Jr. I'm just wondering if, hey, we feel like we can get better deals in this offseason. We're going to sit tight. We're going to see maybe if we can possibly turn this around, maybe get in the play-in. Who knows what's going to happen. And we'll just ride this out. And then this offseason, then we're going to make major changes.
Yeah, I was reading some quotes from Masai about it, you know, their lack of activity at the deadline. And he was just preaching patience and was basically saying, like, you know, anything we could have done today, we can probably do in the offseason. So I think you're probably right. That's when, if they're going to look to really shake things up or rebuild, like that's probably when they're going to do it. And then I think they're just going to see what they can do this season, see if they can get back into the mix. I'll say, I think it's a pretty good price for Pearl. I'm a big Pearl guy. I'm pretty high on him. I think they got a pretty good deal there. I think he's well worth what they gave up to get him. They'll have a chance to bring him back. He's going to be an unrestricted free agent, as well as Van Vliet and Gary Trent Jr., I believe. But I think they'll be able to bring those guys back if they want to. And yeah, it's interesting. They drafted Poeltl, I believe, or they, at least he started his career with them. Correct?
He was in the Kawhi Leonard trade.
Right. That's when he went to San Antonio. Yeah, exactly. So, you know, they've got some history. I like it. I like it as just a small move. It was surprising that's all they did, though.
All right. Two more things before we get out of here. I know we want to end with the Baisley trade. Brett, that's your guy. But before then, I would be remiss. Our guy, Raleigh, our overstated colleague, I feel really bad for him. The Chicago Bulls did absolutely nothing, and they lost tonight against the Brooklyn Nets. That's all I want to say about the Chicago Bulls. I have no idea what they're doing, but that's neither here nor there. But, Brett, I'm going to give you the floor is yours. We're about an hour and 25 minutes. Darius Baisley, your guy, is now on a contender for the NBA Finals. The floor is yours.
Man, I can't believe this day has finally arrived. Been waiting for this for a long time. This is the second draft to end all second drafts. This is the one I've been waiting for. It became pretty clear, I guess, if not last season, certainly this season, that Baisley wasn't going to be a part of OKC's future plans. He got to the point where he's pretty much out of the rotation for a good portion of this season, even though he was the longest tenured member of the Thunder and had played really well in quite a few different stretches where he's actually been giving minutes. But it just became clear that he wasn't going to be there long term. He probably didn't want to be there long term. I think just for both him and the Thunder, it was the right thing to do to move on. They definitely did right by him, sending him to obviously a contender and a really good basketball situation for him. A lot of the time in OKC, when he's gotten minutes and gotten opportunity, a lot of times they'll have him just spotting up on the perimeter, you know, and it's like, that's not his game. He's not even a good shooter. Why is he out there? Like, he's a terrible floor spacer. Probably the thing he does worst is shoot right now, although he has shown some improvement. But with Phoenix, he's just going to be able to do the things he does well. He's going to be able to run out and transition, get dunks. He's going to be able to be like one of their defensive specialists. He's going to be able to get buckets just off cuts. Like, he's not going to be asked to do too much with the ball in his hand, or probably won't be on the perimeter too much. And I just think for Phoenix too, it fills a need. Like, as soon as that trade happened, it was kind of like, okay, that's awesome. But then people start talking about their lack of depth and their lack of defense. And Baisley addresses both of those things. He gives them some really nice forward depth, some good versatility. He can play the three in a pinch. He can definitely play some small ball five, obviously power forward, can defend pretty much any position depending on who he's defending. So yeah, I mean, I think he adds a lot to the team. But I was so hyped about that Suns trade last night. Like, you saw the tweets I was sending off. Like, I was already so jacked up about that team, just with KD and Book and Paul and Ayton. And then today, they get Darius Bazley. Oh, man. It was like, it couldn't get any better than that. So I think it's just a perfect situation. I'm so glad he's going to be on a great team. And I really think he's going to fit in well as just like a high-end role player for them. I think he's got an outside shot at starting, to be honest. Everything I've seen kind of has Torrey Craig penciled in as the fifth starter. I'm a little biased, but I think Darius Bazley's better than Torrey Craig. And I think he might be a better fit in that lineup. So I think he's going to, at the very least, get real rotation minutes. And I think there's a chance he could move into that starting lineup at some point. He's only 22. He's been around for a while, but he's very young. So there's some upside there too, where, like, if, you know, if it works out, he could be a nice piece for them going forward. But I'm just so excited to see what he looks like in a different environment with, and look, man, the Thunder are an awesome team. I love them. I love everything they're doing. I love SGA. I love Mark Dagnall. I love everything about that team, right? It's just, for whatever reason, he wasn't fitting in there, but that's the only place we've seen him. So to see what he looks like in a different system, in a different role, really, it's exciting. So the Bazley agenda has had a new life breathed into it.
I love it.
It goes without saying. And I'm telling you, I think he was a really savvy pickup. They gave up Dario Saric and a second round pick to get him. Come on. I think he's that might prove to be a really smart little under the radar acquisition has not been talked about very much. And understandably, he's been in OKC and he's been buried on the bench. Like, if you don't pay attention to the Thunder, like, you probably forgot he was in the league. But I think he could open some eyes in Phoenix. I'm expecting him to.
I love it. I love it, Brett. I love it. This is one of my favorite podcasts that we do. This is our third year doing this. We appreciate everyone's support. One of my favorite days of the year at the NBA. Like I said at the top, the NBA has changed. The landscape has changed. Let's freaking go. I want to get out of here. I want to go watch Bucks Lakers. Another freaking 9:30 game that I have to stay up for. But that's neither here nor there. It's the NBA. Love you guys. Love you guys for subscribing. Follow us. Love it. Love it. Love it. For myself, Brett, producer Mikey, we'll see you guys later. Peace.